Shalom and welcome to Chazak Ve'Amatz. Be strong and very courageous. My name is David Oaks, pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and founder of David Oaks Ministries and Israel Study Tours with David Oaks. Join me for the next 30 minutes as we study Israel, the end times, and how to live successful lives during these times. Glory to God! Take your Bibles once again and turn with me to 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter. 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter. Now, we don't have time to review everything that we've been speaking on in the past weeks. Suffice it to say, we have gone through the Word of God and we have shown through Scripture that God has made an everlasting covenant with the people of Israel, the biological seed of Abraham, and has said in this everlasting covenant, this is forever, this is one that lasts forever, that the land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people forever. Now notice this in verse 15, we'll just do this couple of scripture review. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Now here's the everlasting covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here it is, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. So we studied and we saw, beginning in Genesis, that God first spoke to Abraham at Alon Moreh, the Oak of Moreh, which overlooks Shechem. That is in what the world calls the West Bank now, but what the Bible calls Samaria. Bible doesn't say West Bank and the Gaza Strip. The Bible says Judea, Samaria, and Gaza. And even Gaza is of the territorial possessions of the tribe of Judah, the tribe that Jesus came from. And so we went through, and Abraham was at Shechem, which is modern-day Nablus. Then he went down to Hebron, down in the south of the Judea area. Then he even went further south into Beersheba. He was a little north of Jerusalem, even, in Bethel, the house of God. And those are the areas, and God said, man, get up, look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Everything you see, that's what I've given you. David went on to say the same thing about the everlasting covenant in Psalm 105. It says, he hath, in verse 8, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. And so God, remember we looked at the word lot last week, it's like a construction word, it's a cordoned off area, it's an area that shows a possession. I like to liken it to like a construction site where they've cordoned it off with stakes and a cord. And so he said, that is the lot of your inheritance. That belongs to the children of Israel. Genesis, the 15th chapter, since we need to go back there for those who may not have been with us. Now in chapter 15 of Genesis, it says, in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So what God has given Israel is actually larger than what they possess right now. But for our sake right now in this time period, we've looked at Judea, Samaria, where 90% of the Bible took place, occurred 90% of it in Judea, Samaria, what the world calls the West Bank. And God said that land right there, that land is Israel's for an everlasting covenant. Now, we're going to look at some other scriptures. Let's look, if you would please, at Deuteronomy 32. It says this in verse 8, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob, that's Israel, is the lot of his inheritance. So when God and the Son and the Holy Ghost sat around the conference table of heaven, we'll say, and they begin to draw out on the map of the earth what areas would go to what people. It said he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. So he gave the children of Israel theirs first and then gave the other nations theirs. Now, this dispute that's going on over this holy land, this land of promise, this land that came by everlasting covenant, is a dispute against God Almighty. For God Almighty has said that that land belongs unto the children of Israel. Well, what else does the word have to say about it? Are there any other scriptures that tell us anything? Well, Isaiah 41. Let's look over there. Take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 41. Remember this scripture. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That word workman is the Greek word ergates, and ergates is a word that has a part of the flavor of its meaning as teacher. God wants us to study the word of God to get to a place that we can expound the scriptures as a teacher so that we can teach somebody else. That's God's plan, that we take the word of God and help instruct somebody else and raise them up in the things of God. Now look here at chapter 41. I want you to see this. And the reason we're going here is because some people think that God's through with the Jewish people. I heard a minister one time on television, and he said, you know, people teach Bible prophecy and teach about the land of Israel and fulfilling prophecy. And he had the audacity to say this, that the modern nation of Israel has nothing to do with Bible prophecy. Well, he needs to learn to read. I'll say it again, he needs to learn to read, because it does. God's not through with the Jewish people. He's got a great mission for them in the end times. Now look at this, verse 8. God said, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away." Ooh, notice that, what God said. God's not through with this covenant that he's given unto Israel. He's not through with his covenants with Israel. He didn't cast them away just because at Jesus' first coming, they didn't recognize him as Messiah. Oh, thanks be unto God, many Jewish people are recognizing him as Messiah. But you know, it's not mandatory that they recognize Jesus as Messiah right now to have their land. They will, according to Zechariah, they will come to the place that they recognize Jesus as Messiah. But that's not mandatory for them to get their land, because God gave them the land as an everlasting covenant, and God doesn't go back on his word. I think we need to go back to Romans 3, where we were last week, because I'm sure there are people listening that weren't listening last week. Look at Romans, the third chapter again. Let's begin reading in verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid! Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written. Now notice this out of the Living Bible, because I just believe it comes alive. If you read it out of the Living Bible, it ought to come alive. Now listen to this out of the Living Bible. Oh, this is delicious. Then what's the use of being a Jew? Are there any special benefits for them from God? Is there any value in the Jewish circumcision ceremony? Yes, being a Jew has many advantages. First of all, God trusted them with his laws so that they could know and do his will. True, some of them were unfaithful, but Jesus, because they broke their promises to God, does that mean God will break his promises? Of course not. In other words, they weren't obedient all the time. But is that going to make God break his promise to them? Of course not, the Living Bible says. Though everyone else in the world is a liar, God is not. God said, "I have chosen thee," that's Israel, in Isaiah 41, verse 8 and 9, and he said, "and will not cast thee away." Well, that's good news. I'm teaching this because some people think, even in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, think God is finished and through with the Jewish people and God's plan for them and God's calling for them. Well, he's not. Look at Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Hallelujah. I mean, we're just having a little Bible seminar right here. Jeremiah 31. You got it? Verse 35. It says this, "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me," what ordinances? Well, the sun's shining. Did you get up this morning and the sun's still shining? Did you? Well, I think you did. I think it's still out there. And then last night, did you see the moon and the stars? Well, it might have been a little cloudy, but you saw the moon and the stars. And notice this. It says in verse 36, "If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever." Now notice this. God says then, let's look at the other side. God said that the only way that Israel will cease from being a nation before him is if the sun stops shining, the moon and the stars stop appearing in the nighttime. For as long as there's the sun, and as long as there's the moon, and as long as there's the stars, then you can just rest assured that Israel is a nation before the Almighty God. Notice this. "Then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever." But if you still see the sun, if you still see the stars, if you still see the moon, glory be unto God, then Israel's going to remain a nation forever. I really don't care what the Arab nations say. You know, some of the Islamic charters say that they're calling for the total annihilation of the state of Israel, the modern state of Israel. And they think they can do away with them. Well, I got news. Listen closely. I got news. It'll never happen. Because if they get up in the morning time and the sun's still there, Israel's going to continue being a nation. Now, if they get up and the sun's not there, then it doesn't matter anyway because they're not going to be alive anyway. But it notices, as long as there's a sun, I'm being redundant, I know it. But you need to get it. As long as there's a sun, according to the scriptures in Isaiah 31, verses 35 and 36, as long as there's sun, moon, and stars, and they keep doing their job in the day and the nighttime, glory be unto God, there's going to be a nation called Israel. And it's forever. See, the gifts and callings of God are forever. People need to know this. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, future, is heavenly. The people of Israel, those who aren't born again, their future is earthly. Our promise has to do from God heavenward. That's where our promise is. But the Jewish people's promise for God is earthly. They will have the land exactly as God said, from the river Euphrates to the river of Egypt, more than likely the Nile River. I tell you what, my brothers and sisters, this is good news. How important is the land of Israel unto God? Well, look at Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Oh, blessed be the name of God. Isaiah 43. You got people over there that are killing Jewish people. You know, I have dear friends in Judea Samaria. Very close friends, political friends, people who own businesses. And I've had two really close friends that have been attacked by terrorist suicide bombers. Oh, and thanks be unto God because we wrapped them with love and prayer. God brought them through it. Blessed be the name of God. One of them's body was burned severely, and there's not even a scar. Another one to the shrapnel that left the suicide bomber's bomb belt, and the shrapnel was nails and screws and ball bearings and penetrated their flesh. They were only 6 feet away from him, and yet God spared their life. I mean, this is the power of our God. Psalm 91 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." Now notice this. 1,000 shall fall at thy right at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. I mean, we just speak these scriptures over these people, and our friends lived through a terrorist bombing. One of them, my friend, tackled a terrorist with a bomb on him and rode him to the ground. And everything was going fine until a soldier shot the bomb, and the bomb exploded and just really injured my friend. But he's walking around now, and he's just healing up. Glory be unto God. And I tell you what, they're over there, and they're trying to hurt God's holy people. Not only are they trying to hurt Americans, they're trying to hurt God's holy people. And God is going to go to battle for Israel in the near future. And look at chapter 43, verse 4. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. And I have loved thee, therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Now notice what it says. God said, this is what God said about Israel. God said he loves them. Did you get that? God says he loves them. How do you know he's talking to Israel? Well, look at verse 1, chapter 43 of Isaiah. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Then he goes on and said, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. God loves Israel so much that if people have to die for Israel to survive, people will die. God has a work for the nation of Israel to do, and they shall do it in accordance with God's will. Now, we said this scripture last week in Isaiah, the second chapter. It says, for the law shall proceed forth. The law shall proceed forth out of Zion. In Hebrew, I know it better in Hebrew than I do in English. God's plan for the Jewish people is that the word of God flow forth from Jerusalem during the millennial reign of Christ, and they will fulfill that call. And God says, I will give men for thee and people for thy life. You better watch out messing with Israel, because God said, I would bless them that bless them, and I would curse them that curse them. Mr. Pastor Man, Mr. Preacher Man, you sound like you really like Israel. Oh, folks, I just love Israel because so many blessings will come on the body of Christ if they just bless Israel. I'm sure in the coming weeks I'm going to be talking about what happens if you give money to Israel. I mean, God has a whole set of blessings for us if we give money to them and we bless them. God has a whole set of blessings for people who will pray for Israel and just love Israel. God will bless you. I mean, some of you people who are bound up in your homes and can't come out of your house maybe because of physical ailment, I mean, God wants to bless you, and you can do things towards Israel, and God will bless you and bless your life. I mean, just bless you. God wants to just bless you. And that's good news, isn't it? Hallelujah. God's good. Now look with me, if you would please, to Joel, the third chapter. Joel, the third chapter. Hallelujah. Now I want you to listen to this scripture. God will give men's lives for Israel. God hasn't gotten through with Israel and cast them off. But I want you to notice this, and we're going to probably close with the scripture. This will be enough just to mess up your mind here. Chapter 3, verse 1 of Joel. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all the nations of the earth, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel. Now you can go over to verse 12 and find out what's going to take place in the valley of Jehoshaphat. Let the heathen be wakened. Now the heathens is the same word in Hebrew, goyim, as nations. Remember, we talked a few weeks ago, there are three sets of people God looks at. There's the Jews, the nations of and the church that 1 Corinthians speaks of. So let the nations or the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the nations round about. And so God's going to have a time when he draws all of the nations that have been ugly towards Israel into the valley of Jehoshaphat. The valley of Jehoshaphat is the Kidron Valley. The Kidron Valley is the valley that runs to the east of the present day old city of Jerusalem. It's the part of the old city of Jerusalem that the Ottoman Turks built the walls, but there's one gate there that we know as the Eastern Gate, or the Gate Beautiful. It's the gate that the Messiah shall enter in to begin his ruling and reigning in the city of Jerusalem. And so there's that place in the valley in front of that gate, the Kidron Valley. If you take the Kidron Valley and just keep going up north on the Kidron Valley, soon you'll run into the Valley of Armageddon. Stood there many, many times. But there's going to be a calling of the nations to come forth into that place in the end times, there to be judged. And this is how what they're going to be judged. This is the criteria for judgment for the nations. And listen to this, because we're going to close with it. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the Valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people. Who's his people? Well, he tells us, and for my heritage Israel, God's people. And God's heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. God says this, there's going to be judgments that come to the nations of the earth. And the judgments will be, here's the criteria for the judgment, they have scattered the children of Israel. We will be looking at that in the weeks to come. They have scattered the children of Israel. And the second part, those who have parted up the land of Israel. The word part in most translations is divided up the land of Israel. Right now, that is exactly what UN resolutions have tried to do. They are trying to part up. That is what the new peace accords that are being passed around through the nations to cause a separate Palestinian state from a separate Jewish state living side by side. The Palestinian state, they say, will be erected in what the world calls the West Bank, but in the Bible is Judea Samaria, where we have said before, we shall repeat ourselves. 90% of the Bible takes place. The very lands where Abraham and Jacob and Isaac were spoken to by God, and they were told there that God had given that to them for an everlasting covenant, and the nations are trying to divide that very land that God has said is the Israeli people. And God says in the end of days, there will be judgments upon the nations for dividing up God's holy land. Well, I tell you what, my brothers and sisters, God is not finished with the Jewish people or the land of Israel, and it is the Israel. It belongs to the Jewish people, all of the land of Israel, and God will deal harshly with those who try to divide her up or to take her and steal her completely away from the hands of the Jewish people. We're going to stop right there for this week, and we'll go on later because we have many, many other things to speak about. We want to get into the weeks in the future how you'll be blessed if you are a blessing to the people of Israel.